Grace be unto you in peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our meditation this morning is the gospel lesson for the day, recorded in the 25th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Matthew and beginning at the first verse. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish, and five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took jars, oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry went out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on the way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Sir, sir," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." The Word of God. Dear friends in Christ, with this very familiar text, which you notice is our gospel lesson for the day, and which you all have heard now twice, we almost come to the end of this church year. And since the Middle Ages, Christians have used the last closing days of the old church year to focus on the last things: the end of the world, the promise of things to come, and the return of Jesus Christ. The German Lutheran custom, which we just previously have observed, was on this second to last Sunday of the church year, the name of each person in the parish who had died during that year would be read with an appropriate scripture verse, and then the bell would be tolled. Now, the parable of the wise and foolish girls fits in well with this pattern of the end of things. The bridegroom is expected, but no one knows precisely when he will arrive. But when he comes, he will usher in a time of celebration. But only those who are there and ready will enjoy that celebration with him. Now, these themes made very good sense to the Jewish listeners at Jesus' time. Weddings were a lot different than they are now. Very often, not as many people who are invited attend a wedding, but everybody shows up for the celebration. Well, at Jesus' time, it was quite different. First, the wedding would take place at the home of the bride, and bride's parents, actually. And then later, the celebration would continue at the home of the groom's parents, or if the groom had his own home already, then there. And the wedding party would move from one celebration to the continuing celebration at the other home, very possibly in the dark. And then the celebration would continue. Now, that's a rather good symbol for what God holds in store for us. We celebrate His presence with us here, as we're doing right now, together worshiping Him and giving Him glory. But if it has been good to worship God here and to be with God here in this life, it will be still better in the life to come. Much as one family would certainly try to outdo the other family as far as the celebration was concerned, with music and with food and with entertainment, which they would provide at their home before the party moved to the next home. And we're told that the celebration could go on for days. Remember Jesus at Cana of Galilee, invited to the wedding? They ran out of wine, didn't they? Maybe that's when most celebrations ended. But not this one with the miracle of Jesus. So the life we share with Christ in this world can really only hint at what will come when we move from this stage of our existence into the next stage with Jesus in heaven. Now, by the time that these words were written by St. Matthew, it was becoming clear that the world might not end as soon as a lot of people at that time had expected. Those who had followed Jesus, those who had known Jesus, those who had believed in Jesus and were now called Christians were beginning to die. And funerals for them had already been held. And their relatives perhaps were wondering why the end was taking so long. Now Matthew, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, may have been hoping to remind them of Jesus' teaching that the end would come, but it would come like a thief in the night, unexpectedly. St. Mark, in his gospel, which was probably the first gospel written, points out that not even the angels in heaven, not even the Son of Man, but only the Father, knows the day and the hour when the end will come. Now, if the bridegroom had come quickly, the foolish virgins wouldn't have looked so foolish. But to their surprise, and to the surprise of the early Christians, the bridegroom did not come quickly. Since St. Matthew's time, we have become a bit more circumspect in our view of the end of time. Few of us look up to the skies today and look for them to momentarily open up and Jesus burst back upon this earthly scene. Even though we know that it could happen at any moment, we are more inclined to interpret this call to readiness in a second but equally appropriate way. That is, be ready for the end of your world when death comes to you. We can't escape the grave. What's more, we can't tell when the end will come. Like the virgins in the parable, we must be ready and prepared at every moment. That's why we teach our children, and I hope we pray ourselves. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. See, in one sense, death is our enemy. St. Paul says that death is the last untamed enemy. And while Christ crippled death at Calvary, that wounded enemy still roams around the world seeking to paralyze Christ's friends with fear. And even when we know all the promises that God has made to us, death can still send shivers up our spine. You see, we really don't know what the experience of death will be like. Nor do we actually know what it will be like on the other side. And so we wonder and we worry about how we will exist there. Will we have a personality? We wonder if we can face God when we meet face to face. And even when we come to terms with death and dying and draw courage from the promises of Scripture and from Christ's victory over death for us, we can at times feel anger about death and dying. You see, death destroys relationships. It tears our loved ones from us. It interrupts what we have come to know and love. It cuts our time short and often, very often, leaves things unfinished. It faces us with the unknown. It faces us with our own mortality and shows us once and for all how small and powerless we really are. But death can also be our friend. Death is like the sudden coming of the bridegroom in the parable. For those unprepared, it was a cruel and bitter time. But for those who were ready and waiting for his coming, it was the beginning of the celebration. In spite of the harshness and cruelty which death brings with it, and we should not pretend that it doesn't, it can also be our friend. In the words of St. Thomas More, as he lay his head down on the executioner's block in the Tower of London and said, "It sends my soul to God." You see, death is the great bridge that lets us pass from this world to the next. We cannot be certain when our end will come. There are so many ways to go. We hear about them day after day in all the news reports. How can we be ready? Well, just as half of the night watchers in the parable took measures to be ready for the second coming of the bridegroom, whom they realized might take longer than they first expected, we too can prepare. We can be prepared by always living our lives in the promises of God. And this is important, and always remembering the nature of God. A man named Carl Coleman was driving to work one morning when a woman motorist passed too close and snagged his bumper. Both cars stopped. The young woman surveying the damage was in tears. It was her fault, she admitted, but it was a new car, just 2 days old. How was she ever going to face her husband? Well, Mr. Coleman was sympathetic, of course, but he explained that they must note each other's license numbers, automobile registration, and certainly insurance information. The young woman reached into the glove compartment of her car to retrieve the documents in an envelope. And on the first piece of paper to tumble out of the envelope was written in a heavy, masculine scrawl these words: "In case of accident, remember, honey, it's you I love, not the car." That's what God is saying to us. God has promised us that death will not be the end. Death will never have the last word. Jesus' death was followed by his resurrection. The scripture says, "The first fruits of them that sleep." God does not forsake us when we die. He goes with us from life through death to life eternal. Death is not the end. God made us for himself. Jesus redeemed us with his death on the cross. Our sins are forgiven. The Holy Spirit has brought us to faith in Jesus, and our God will take us to be with him when this life is ended. The scriptures literally overflow with imagery describing what the homecoming will be like. Being ready is simply believing his promise and trusting him to make good on it, that where I am, you will be also. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.